And my prayer tonight, and that's what we're going to pray, is that God releases us from the internal turmoil that so often we face and the shame that's resulted from that turmoil that's brought us to the place of stupidity, sin, and things that we regret. And everybody has those, right? So let's pray. Father, we just pray this evening. Your presence is here. That God, that you're with us, and we know that. And so, Lord, I just pray that this evening, that in your presence, that we experience new freedom, we experience new life, that God, that we recognize that you make all things new, that you do it this evening, that we don't ever operate from a place of fear or shame because of the things that we've done, but we know that you've made us new. And so tonight I just declare that over us, over this congregation, over everyone here this evening, over everyone listening right now online. And so, Lord, I just pray that there's a spirit of life and freedom in this place, and I rebuke the enemy that wants to lie to us and tell us that we'll never be able to change, that it doesn't matter how many New Year's resolutions we make, that we'll never change. But, Lord, I thank you that it's you that brings change. It's you that makes us new. And so, Father, I just pray that tonight that we embrace that and recognize that, and we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, that was a really long prayer. Did y'all have a good new year? Yes? It's quiet. Why did it get quiet? Y'all gonna have to talk to me tonight. Can y'all talk to me? Good. I want us to look at James chapter 4. So if you can turn there, I'd appreciate it. I have, honestly, just a really simple message. I titled it From Frustrated to Fulfilled. I was just thinking about all the New Year's resolutions that people make, and I've made them before, and I'm not making a New Year's resolution this year. I just know what God's spoken to me about what he's calling me to. Sunday I spoke about deciding to start, and God placed one thing on me, very, very simple, and that's what I asked of everybody, that you just seek God and say, I'm going to start one thing. And for me, he gave me one specific word, and it wasn't what I expected, but the more that I've sought him, the more that I've said since the beginning of this year, Lord, I really want to grow more in you. It's amazing how impactful that's been. But as I look back on all the past New Year's resolutions that I've previously made, and some of them I've kept and some of them I've not. Do you fall in that category as well? And I wonder why we get to the place where we actually have to make resolutions, where we say, I'm starting new, that I know that right now it's a new day and I'm starting brand new. Well, why do we have to get to that place? It seems like once we give our life to Christ, that once we come to God and we say, Lord, I'm here I am, I know who you are, I know you love me, I'm messed up, I give everything to you, that like from that moment forward it should be completely great. It should be a cakewalk, that we should never get back to the place where we say, wait a minute, I've got to change some things. Tell me I'm not the only one that thinks that way. Have you ever asked yourself, like, why do I do that? Why do I have to, like, every year it's like, okay, here we go, starting over. Feels like two steps forward, two steps back. Sometimes, doesn't it? So I titled the message, From Frustrated to Fulfilled, because my heart for you is that you live a life where you're continually growing, that you're growing in your walk with God. And the Bible says that we're to go from glory to glory. And that sounds kind of weird if you don't know what it's talking about, but it means that we understand and experience more and more of God's presence every day. And that we don't get to the place where we kind of fall back from our walk with him. I want us to grow. I also recognize that it's frustrating to be at the place where you know you need to make a resolution, you know you need to make a change, but you don't really want to because you recognize how difficult and the work that's involved in seeing that change happen. Am I right? Like, I need to lose 5 pounds, and then I need to lose like 10 pounds, and like it seems to just keep going up and up. Y'all following me? My goodness. I hate that. And we see in James chapter 4, we're going to read the first 10 verses. It says this, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? There is a war on the inside of all of us. It is our flesh. It's our like desires inside of us that cause the war. Like simple stuff. that can manifest itself into big things. I'll give you a very small example. I haven't started fasting yet. As a church, we're starting the fast this Sunday, so prepare for it. We're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. But I've been eating healthy and not eating as much in preparation for that. And so for lunch, I just had a bag of trail mix. I like trail mix, and it's kind of filling, and it's good. But Pastor Josh brought into the office like this big three-meat cheese pizza. And I'm sitting there looking, and I ate all of my small bag of trail mix, and I'm looking at the pizza. I'm going, I should not eat that pizza. I even fussed at him for eating the pizza, telling him it was bad and that they shouldn't do that. Then we're going to be fasting. It's going to be hard if you eat the pizza. And then he reaches over, and as I'm looking at the pizza, I'll be honest, I say, well, maybe I'll split a piece with you. And so he pulls the piece off, and he says, well, look, I just split it from the rest of it and put it right in front of me. I did not want to eat that thing. But there was this battle that's raging, and I lost. I ate that sucker. I ate that piece of pizza. And it wasn't a sin, but it was this war inside of me. What a just a tiny, tiny example of the war that rages in us for good or for evil, to follow the Lord, to follow God, or to follow what we want to do. Because there is an aspect of life that our flesh, our body, our mind, our soul cries out for the wrong thing, because it brings a sense of, even doing the wrong thing can bring a sense of temporary and momentary fulfillment. It's wrong, and we know it, but there's a payoff in the end. It's frustrating, though, isn't it? And so we think that we have to wake up and work in our walk with God every day. But that's not really the case. We have to get up with the right heart, with the right mind, and get to the right place. And we can go from frustrated to fulfilled. What's causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Yes. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and you kill to get it. How many of y'all have killed a diet because you wanted something to eat? Just be honest. How many of you killed a diet? Like, there was death to the diet because you wanted something. I feel you. That's just a small example of so many things in our life. We say, well, I've never schemed and killed people. No, but we've killed dreams that we've had. We've killed goals that we've set. We've killed relationships because we wanted it our way, because there's a war inside of us from knowing what the right thing is to do and then not doing it, which is why James 4:17 actually in this chapter says, those that know the right thing to do and don't do it to you, it's sin. How many times in the heat of battle in marriage have you known, like, there's that thing that you know you should not say that. It is the silver bullet of death. Like, it's gonna end that argument, but it might do serious and critical damage to the relationship. And yet, because you're in such an emotional state, you're in this battle, you know, I shouldn't say it, I shouldn't bring that up. And then you say that one thing that you know is going to cut them and hurt them, because you've been hurt and you've been cut. And you just wanted that momentary fulfillment to, yeah, I stuck it to you, realizing you never should have done it. And the moment that it came out of your mouth, you recognize how stupid you were. And I know I'm not the only one that's done that. There's a war. It's raging. We kill relationships, we kill dreams, we kill goals, because we're scheming for the payoff. I'm not the only stupid one. All of us are intelligent. We're all smart. We've probably done some really bonehead and stupid things. Why? I mean, just look through KPLC's mugshots. Anybody do that? And you got to be honest enough to say, I look through those mugshots pretty regularly. I do. Yeah, Austin, the sound was raising his hand. Yes. Don't you just book them? And you look at them and go, well, how dumb are they? Not much dumber than us. Just a lot of times we did something different that was done, or we may have done what they did, just didn't get caught. It's human nature. And yet we hate it, don't we? You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. I mean, I read that and went, well, that's kind of not true, because I've asked God for a lot of things in the moment that I'm going, like, things that I know he wants, like, Lord, like, heal my marriage, like, heal me, like, fix me, like, God, I want you to do that. And then there's a season where it seems like it gets better, and then it gets worse again. God, I asked you. You do realize that we have to continually and regularly ask. We've been given, the moment we surrender our life to Christ, we have the revelation, God, you love me so much. Jesus took my place on the cross. Gotta give my life to you. The moment that we have that revelation and then reciprocate the love that was demonstrated to us, we're made new. But we can choose to embrace the divine nature that God gives us or to give in to the fleshly desire that we all have. Now, this has to do with people who've made that decision, had the revelation, and those who don't. Because don't we all know what the right thing is to do? And yet there's a war. And I get so frustrated with myself. I get so frustrated in talking to people. There have been those times I've been very frustrated because it's like the same thing over and over and over. It's like this repetitiveness in counseling someone. And you're realizing, listen, they're just not getting it. Have y'all experienced that before, where people you may know or love or people that you may see close enough to recognize that they want to change, but it's like the same repetitive, addictive behaviors or the stupidity that they engage in, it's cyclical. Yeah, but I prayed and I asked God. Let me just tell you, you have to keep seeking and keep knocking. Deliverance does come. You ever wonder why some people, they ask God once to deliver them from something, and it's done forever? It's the person that has a testimony that they get up before a group of people and they say, I remember 20 years ago, I was on the verge of death. I was a raging drug addict. I'd wake up with needles in my arms. I weighed 95 pounds. I was on the verge of death. And then I had this experience where, like, light filled the room and I saw Jesus standing there and he touched me. And since then, I've never wanted another drop of alcohol, another ounce of drugs. I've been completely free and everything's perfect. And everybody who's ever struggled with any addiction wants to punch that person in the face, like, multiple times. Have y'all wondered, like, why does God do that? I can't answer that, but I do know this, that this is how the enemy operates in strongholds in our lives. And I think it's why people get frustrated and they stop asking God, because it can be a process. Every time that we give in to a temptation, here's a picture of temptation. It's the enemy coming into our mind, coming into our soul with a brick. It's a temptation. It's a specific thing that he's tempting us with. And when we give into that, he sets it down. And then he comes in with that same thing again. And it's a little easier to give into it. And then he sets it down. And as you do that over and over and over, brick after brick after brick after brick, here's what the enemy does. He sets up a fortress in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. And it turns from what seemed innocent in just this one little thing, but now they're all stacked together. And it's the mortar of emotional ties that bind them and make them strong. And now it's this huge fortress. It's this huge tower where the enemy comes and sets up shop. And you come to the revelation, I hate this, I want to be free from it. And you pray, God, forgive me, cleanse me, I don't want to be in the light. And you drag it into the light. And in that moment, the light of God shines on that structure, that spiritual fortress that's been built. And the enemy's works are vanquished. But so often the bricks themselves are left. And that temptation may still be just as easy, even though the enemy's been run out. And you have to, brick by brick, say every day, Lord, get on your knees. God, I need you today. I can't do this without you. And over the course of time, day by day, brick by brick, deliverance is won. And yet we get so frustrated. Well, I asked God once, We have to keep asking. We have to keep seeking. We have to keep knocking. That can be frustrating. It's, honestly, can it? But it brings us to the place of fulfillment if we're faithful. Let's read on. Verse 3. Even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And there is no greater pleasure when you get to the place where you hate something that you once loved. And you know it's destructive and devastating and wrong. You used to love it, but you hate it. There's no greater pleasure than praying, God, deliver me from this right now, and expecting him to do all of the hard work. That's the greatest desire. Any person who struggles with areas in their life where the enemy set up a stronghold, that is the wrong prayer of God, I want you to deliver me right now and all of it. Let me tell you, it is God that destroys the works of the enemy, but you still have to do the work to keep the enemy from coming back. You have to dismantle what he's set up in your heart, your mind, your soul. I hope I'm making sense. Am I making sense? And it can be selfish not to ask for deliverance, but to get upset and frustrated when you have to fight for it. And sometimes we do. It's not because God isn't big enough in a moment to speak and that thing come crashing down. He is big enough. But he often lets us walk through the same process that we used to build those things, but in a reverse order. Why? To strengthen us as we take down those bricks one by one and chunk them out of our mind, our heart, and soul so that we are spiritually growing in him and dependent on him. And he goes from being some cosmic counselor that can, with the wave of his hand, free us from something that we worked really hard at seeing erected in our lives. He says, no, trust me every day. Verse 4, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I mean, that's a hard statement. But God, I hate this war inside of me. I need you to deliver me this right now. Like, I need to be done with it because I've got things to do. I've got to fix my life here. My life's in shambles. Like, help me out, God. Are you willing to stick with him? Are you so bent on the war that's been raging for years, it being instantly over so that you can carry on with your life? Are you willing to trust him through the process? By the way, none of this is what I anticipated speaking on. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. One of the most offensive things that a child can do to a parent is to view them through the lens of getting. Wanting whatever is in their hand more than wanting to just be with them. I have 4 kids. I know what that's like because children are immature and they want things. My wife is out of town. And my mom came in to help with my 4 small children. And when she showed up, my youngest, who was 4, ran up and hugged her. So we limit screens at our house, but with Oma, there's like this, it's less. And so his first words to her as he hugged her, he said, Oma, you have the iPad? And she looked at him and said, and he's cute as a button, and he really is, and he knows it. And she said, now, Eric, do you want me to be here, or you just want me for the iPad? And he just kind of did that cute little thing like he doesn't want to answer. And she asked him again. He says, I just want the iPad. She wasn't mad at him, but it's immaturity that looks at someone through the lens of what they can get from them. How often do we do that with God? What does this last verse say? God is passionate that the spirit he's placed within us should be faithful to him, not what he can do. God can do anything, but he wants us to love him for who he is, not simply for what he's done. That's the equivalent of a child being in love with a parent, or really with anyone, simply because they give them things. And he gives grace generously. Thank goodness that he does. And the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When we make even our deliverance about us, we cut God out of the picture. And we can do it all in the name of Jesus. So focused on the deliverance, so focused on the thing that's been raging inside of us, that we're missing the bigger picture, that God is alive, he created us, he knows us, and he wants us to know him. And in that process, if we'll humble ourselves and we'll go before him and say, Lord, I just want you, the deliverance takes place. The frustration over the war within is quelled because we're in his presence. Three simple things to get from the place of frustration to the place where we're fulfilled. And this is practical. This is supremely practical. And James chapter 4, in my opinion, is one of the most practical chapters in the entire Bible. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we get to the place from being frustrated with the war inside of us, that battle between what we know that God's called us to, the spiritual life that we've embraced, and the flesh that's wanting to do its own thing, that's wanting to say what it wants to say when it wants to say it, wants to go and do what it wants to do when it wants to do it, wants to drink what it wants to drink, wants to be with who it wants to be with? How do we quell that? Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Three things. Number one, here's the first thing. Submit to God. Some translations actually say that. The New American Standard says, submit to God. That means you have to be willing to say, God, here I am. I'll do whatever you want. Avoid the temptation to go, God, here I am. I'm messed up. You fix me right now. When we come to God with that mentality, we've just turned him into some sort of Santa Claus that's going to give us whatever is on our list that we've made out. Humility says, God, you are. I am not. I need you. How do we get to the place of deliverance? How do we get to the place of freedom? How do we get away from the place of frustration that the things that once were a lot of fun are now messing us up? Number one, we submit to God. And in submitting to God, I didn't put it as a number two. I guess I should have. That's all right. We will still have to resist the devil. Even when you come to the place where you say, Lord, I'm all yours. Everything I have, it's yours. All of me is you. You still have to resist the enemy. Because everybody is tempted. Read the Bible. Everyone was tempted. Jesus was tempted. He had to resist the devil. You will never get to the place where you outgrow temptation. And if you get frustrated because you're tempted, the enemy's won. I've seen people that get really frustrated. I can't believe I fought that. Gosh, I can't believe I even had that thought would even come into my brain. Really? Well, that's dumb. Did you act on it? No. Did you like dwell on it and like think on it in your mind? No. Then why are you frustrated? You kicked it out. You did exactly what you were supposed to. You resisted. Good for you. That's not a loss. That's a win. To get to the place where we walk in freedom, where we walk free from frustration, where we can walk fulfilled. In other words, I know that every day my life is completely maxed out for what God has for me and in my walk with him. Yes, I have to submit to him. I have to submit to him. I have to resist the devil as well. And when you do that, when you submit to God, when you resist the devil, he flees. Verse 8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wow. How simple. How many times have you said, God, I just want to be close to you. God, I just want to be right there with you. I want to know you more. Well, come close to him. He'll come close to you. There are times when I chase down my children in my home. It's my home. Most of the time I don't do that. Mama, daddy, what do you do if you want your kids? I mean, sometimes you're out and about and you are going to go hunt them down. But most of the time, what are you going to do if you want to talk to your kids? What are you going to do? Call them. Hey, come see. God is constantly calling out to us. And if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. That's the second thing. You want to get to the place of freedom. You want to get to the place where you're no longer frustrated. Man, I'm having to make these stupid resolutions, and I feel like I can't change. And like, God, what's going on? And I've prayed. But look, submit to God, number one. The second thing is just stay close to God. That's the key. Stay close to God. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So stay close. This is not rocket science. How do people get to the place where they just seem to walk away from God? They fall into something, whatever it is. They fall just away from God. They fall into a sin. It doesn't matter which it is or what it is. They all fall from the same place. It's the place of spending time in the presence of God. Why do we spend so much time on the front side of gathering together for us to sing? Because it's worshiping God. That's not the only way to worship God. But singing is an act of humility for most of us, yes? It's definitely an act of humility for me. Even tonight as I'm playing bass, I'm thinking, dear God, I hope that nobody can hear me. I hope that Rustin and Charity can't hear me because I'm screeching. And at one point I was like, ah! It felt like I was going through puberty again. That's what it sounded like anyway. Singing's an act of humility. And then singing together, saying, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome in my heart, in my life. I know that in your presence that there's love. I know that in your presence my shame's undone. That's me staying close to him. For my wife, if I want to be close to her, I mean, I need to talk to her. I need to reach over at night before we go to sleep and grab her hand and pray for her. And tell her what's going on inside of me and tell her how wonderful she is and listen to what's going. God wants to know us. He wants us to know him. Stay close. It's really simple. I don't want to be frustrated. I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk the life that God has for me. Be humble. Submit everything to him. Lord, here I am. I give it all to you. Stay close. Draw near to him. Stay close to him. And then the next part of this verse. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He'll lift you up in honor. We need to wash our hands, purify our hearts, and separate ourselves from the things that get us dirty. The last things we wrap up. You want to get to the place of freedom. You want to get away from the place of frustration. You want to walk a life that is full, where you feel fulfilled. Submit to God. Stay close to him. The last one, stay clean. Twice a day, my kids have to brush their teeth. Once a day, they have to take a shower. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it's every other day because it's like herding cats. Regardless, they have to regularly, routinely, consistently, and so do I, clean myself. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of you take a shower or a bath every day. I would hope that that would be the majority of us, if not all of us. I would hope if I asked how many of you brush your teeth every day that every hand in here would go up. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask that. Why do we do that? Because we recognize that if we don't, bad things will happen. And if you're married and you're not taking a shower or brushing your teeth, I can promise you there's no good things are going to happen. The same is true spiritually. And so many times I talk to people and it's like they've had this huge encounter with God 4 years ago where like everything that they've done comes to the surface. They just spit it all out and they're, oh God, and they're washed off and they're clean. And yet they fail to stay in the presence of God, surrendering all to Him, submitting to Him. They fail to stay close. They fail to say, Lord, I need your presence today, right now. I need you. I need you. Cleanse me. Wash over me. That is a discipline. We discipline ourselves to brush our teeth, to wash our hands. We discipline ourselves to take a shower or take a bath, even when we don't feel like it, right? Let me just tell you, there will be times you don't feel like this body, this flesh doesn't feel like seeking God and drawing near to Him, and you want to do your own thing. But that doesn't fly in marriage. Why would you think that that'd fly in your walk with God? It damages it. It just brings division, not because of God, but because you've chosen to do your own thing. Submit to Him. Stay close. Stay clean. When we do that, the war isn't that big of a deal because we're walking in the light. I think it was John 8:12 where Jesus said, walk in the light as I am in the light. Just walk in the light. Don't allow darkness to come in and dirty us up. My prayer is that everyone who's here right now, and everyone who was here Sunday, and as you're here for the next, well, starting Sunday, 21 days, as we as a body pray and we fast, that it's the last time we ever have to make resolutions. Listen, every year, come January, you can just count on it. I'm going to be challenging people to turn from the things that have kept them from living the life that God's called them to live, to turn from those things that have kept them from that and to walk in the light. But it should never be us again, because we make the commitment, Lord, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to allow you by your presence to wash over me every day and chip away every nasty, hard edge of the enemy of sin in my life. I just know that God's called us, to be the light. It's Matthew 5:16, where it says, people will see your good works and will glorify your Father in heaven. May we walk in the light. May we walk clean so that people see Jesus in us. Only way they're going to do that is if we spend time with Him. We have to spend time with Him, submit to Him, stay clean in Him. That's why there's so many humanitarian organizations that do tremendously amazing work, do great work. Nobody's come to the revelation of who God is because of them. But when we stay close to God and we walk in the light and we step outside of ourselves and we go into the areas of darkness and we show people the love of God by doing something great and we've been in His presence and we're full of Him, their lives are forever changed, because though they may not have met like Jesus face to face, they've met us and we're full of Him because we've stayed with Him, we've surrendered to Him, we've submitted to Him, and we've allowed Him to wash over us every day. Thousands in this area alone are far, far from God. He's called us to reach them. And in the process of us reaching them, we get to spend time with Him and live a life that's free from unfulfillment. Let's stand together. I don't honestly really feel like much of a response time or an altar call. I'm just challenging you. Please seek God. Please allow him to search your heart. And the areas where you've been frustrated, the areas where you've been at war in yourself, submit it to him. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Don't give up. Don't feel rejected because, well, I've asked God like 100 times. Ask 100 more. Ask 1,000 more. Seek him. Draw near to him. I promise you. I promise you, as you do that, deliverance is coming. Freedom is coming. The frustration from the thing that's held you bound is right around the corner. Anybody get anything from this tonight? Please let me know, because I feel like it was way out. Good. That's really, wow, really good. Good. But can we just grab hands together and let's pray together? Father, I just pray your presence in this place. Long after we leave, that Lord, may you reside here. And not just here, Father, may you reside in us. May we give you carte blanche. Lord, may you move into our lives. Lord, may every area of our heart be open to you. May there be no areas of darkness. May there be no cluttered corners where we hide things we don't want others to see, where we don't want you to see. Lord, we know you see all. And Father, I just pray that you bring us to the place where we don't care what other people think, that Lord, we just want to be in your presence and be with you. And Father, I just pray that we surrender all to you, that we submit to you, that Lord, we humble ourselves and we say, it's not about me, that God, my life isn't even mine, that it's yours. And that Father, that you wash over us as we draw near to you and you cleanse us. And Lord, you prepare us to be your mouth, to be your hands, to be your feet. And Lord, in that, may we sense both your presence, your pleasure, and may we know in that moment what true fulfillment is. May we know that. Father, I pray a blessing over everyone here, that as they turn their heart towards you, that you let them know very clearly you see them, you hear them, know them. May we follow you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you can come up. God bless you.